Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is September the 30th, and joining me today is our producer, Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Sam. How are things?
Things are going well. Busy, as you know, but well. How are you, and how's it feel to be back in the saddle again?
I'm excited to be here. This
is a great show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could see the expression on his face, you would know what that really meant.
Quality time with Sam Grass. Yeah, what could go wrong?
And okay, we're going to move on. Our guests today are here representing an organization called The Healing Train. And with me and Lee is Matt Zlotnick.
Very good.
He is the executive director of The Healing Train, and with him is Josh Needle. Josh is president of Needle Solutions, a Wi-Fi company of solutions. I said that wrong. I butchered that. I'll let you clean it up as we get further into it, Josh. I apologize.
No problem.
Let's get into it. Matt, tell us, if you will, a little bit of your background, and what is The Healing Train all about?
Well, as you said, I'm Matt Zlotnick, and you didn't butcher my last name too much.
That's all right. It was Josh that I have to apologize to.
Right.
His Needle. That's tricky.
Well, it was his company, but okay, go ahead.
But I give you some quick background about me. I've been in, I can think of myself as a Georgia boy. I've been here almost my entire life. I was born up north in Philadelphia. But we moved down when I was one, so my parents and my mom now have been in the same house for 36 years, so we know Georgia well. I've been married for 9 years. I have my wife, Leslie, and then we have my two babies, Lillian, who's 5, and my son, Simon, who is 2. And go ahead and fast forward, because I can go on and on and on, but I went to school with Josh sitting next to me. We went to the University of Georgia, so I lived there for a while. But I scored
a lot of quality points.
Yeah, yeah, we won. That's all I'm going to say. A victory is a victory. So, but I lived in Athens for about 3 years, but finished up at Kennesaw as well. And right now, I currently work full time. So the Healing Train is something, you know, I started about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. to kind of give back to the community. And the Healing Train, just to kind of give you, you know, what we do is we provide free medical transportation for cancer patients. And I'll read our mission statement. Our mission and focus is to provide clean, comfortable, and safe transportation to cancer patients receiving treatments who aren't able to get to and from appointments due to financial or logistical difficulties. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about it later, but there were many reasons why I went in and started this organization due to, you know, it's all personal.
Well, that's great. It sounds like a need out there in the community, and I'll get right back to you and we'll develop that.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Josh. Obviously, you have a full-time profession, but you're doing this situation with the Healing Train on the community service needs. So tell us how all that relates.
Sure. Matt called me about 2 years ago, almost to the day, and said, Josh, I have this crazy idea. I want to be able to give rides to people that can't get to their cancer treatment.
A crazy idea. That's radical.
Yeah. Go ahead. And he said, I don't know if it's going to work or not. And as he explained to me why he wanted to do it and what it would mean to him and to the community, I said, well, Matt, that's not a crazy idea. That'll work. And I'm happy to help any way I can. And so my history, I was an engineer when I came out of school. And then in 2008, started my own company to focus on wireless network design. And in that process, I've learned a lot, not only about deploying wireless networks and fixing them, but also working with people, working with systems and processes to make an efficient and automated process. And I thought that would be something I could bring to the Healing Train to make it run. And even at the time, it didn't even have a name. And we were just kind of spitballing back and forth and said, what about the Healing Train? You know, something about healing people and transportation. So that just kind of came out, and that became what the name of the company is. And
so Josh, Josh gets all the credit for the names. I remember the night I called him, because I've always had the desire to kind of do something on my own, to either start a business. But when I wanted to think of giving back to the community, I wanted to think of something that I went through that I could make a service easier. And then when I was telling Josh about it, I know he's an entrepreneur and kind of going through it. He was like, "Made the magic carpet ride, something, I don't know."
Magic carpet ride. I like that one better.
So Josh is like, the healing train. So I was like, I love it. Let's go with that.
Well, I kind of gathered whose idea it was, because I knew who brought it to the conversation. So right. That was fine. Well, it's a unique name, and we're certainly pleased that you feel enough compassion to give back to the community. Matt, you mentioned that you came up with this idea from a personal experience. So I'd like for you to talk to us about that.
Yeah. But in 2006, my dad was diagnosed with lung cancer, and he didn't get a really good, prognosis to live very long. So when you get that cancer diagnosis, it's nothing less than a gut punch. So we had to deal with that and overcome it. But one of the hardest things, where I don't know how familiar everyone is, it seems like everybody nowadays is familiar with cancer, but when you get that diagnosis, you don't have a choice but to fight that battle. And a lot of it is chemo and radiation. So when you have chemo, it's 3 days of chemo, maybe a week off. In between are doctor's appointments, blood checks, blood transfusions. There's a lot of things that happen with chemo. So to make a long story short, if you can imagine, you're living in a doctor's office. And in my situation, I work full time. My mother was a teacher. My mom is retired now, and she has a lot to do with the healing train and helps us tremendously. But she took time off. My sister took time off. But for whatever reason, my dad didn't want anybody else to take him to and from his appointments other than his family. He felt bad about other people asking friends or other people that wanted to do something for us. He wanted it to be us. And when you're working full-time and have family and kids, transportation is tough. But you got to get to your doctor's appointment to get the treatment. And we lived in doctor's offices for about 7 months. Hospital visits, doctor's appointments. It just became a full-time job caring for him. And that's why I started the healing train, because I'm not a doctor, so I can't make anyone better, but there's a lot of things you have to deal with when you get a cancer diagnosis, and getting there in a good, reliable way was something I felt like I could give back to the community and make a difference. And that's why I really started it. And one thing I want to add, the day my dad passed away, my mom got diagnosed with cancer that exact day. He was in a hospice facility. We were home about 20 minutes and the phone rang, and my mom was waiting for her results back. And then, within sitting on that table, I remember me and my sister and my mom were sitting around, the phone rang, I picked up the phone. She was nervous, and a bad day got worse.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I can imagine, and obviously in speaking off air, you know what I do, and I see the difficulty every day that individuals have in, as you said, transportation, getting to the necessary treatment facility, wherever that may be. And the very least, if nothing else, if you can lessen that burden, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about helping someone.
Yep, exactly. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to grow. That's what we're trying to build. You know, we're in the process. You know, a lot of our service is free transportation. We're a nonprofit. So what we do is we're looking for corporate sponsors, individual, you know, donations, and that's what keeps us ticking. That's what provides these rides are the community around us, people, organizations, and whoever really wants to get involved. But
can you talk a little bit about what it's like when you have the first, you come up with this idea to serve the community because you went through something personal like that, but then to actually build a nonprofit and to make this a go where it's a organization that can thrive and kind of run by itself, How do you, who did you go to first? Like, yeah, you went to a friend to help you with the idea, but how did you get support from the community to see if this was even doable?
You know, that's a great question. You know, Josh mentioned this started about 2 years ago, and you want to set it up the right way. So we're an insured 501c3 as well. So the first
and that's
thing,
not a simple process, right?
No, it's not. So the first thing I did, as you know, you start a new company or organization, is I Googled it. I was like, what is a 501c3?
That's exactly right.
You know, because somebody said, you got to be a 501c3 if you want to do that.
Right.
What's that?
I didn't even know how to start. You know, if my website is thehealingtrain.org. How do you start that?
Yeah,
Setting up a bank account to take donations, setting up insurance. You know, a lot of this, I got to look at my good buddy, close friend, Josh. I was like, Josh, how do I do a website? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I do this? So, you know, it was a lot of just learning as you go.
Well, man, I can, you know, and Lee knows my story. I can relate to what you said. I've got a partner, and he is an excellent businessman. And, you know, he knows this stuff, and he used these acronyms, the 501c3 and all this stuff. And I mean, he kind of expects me to know it. Well, I'm a sales guy, man. I don't go out there and do that.
Right, right.
And I'm like you. What are you talking about?
And every day is something new that you have to deal with. You know, whether it's setting up your bank accounts, your website.
Yeah.
You know, anything from I got to get some business cards. I mean, if you name it, you've got to do it, and there's nobody else to do it but yourself and your board that's sitting next to me.
That's a great bridge, Josh.
Yeah.
As a board member, what's your thoughts about that? I mean, what's your thoughts about the idea of serving the community in this capacity, and how do you see it working out?
Well, I would say that when Matt came to me with the idea, I thought to myself, not only can this work, but this has to work. Because you've got somebody with so much passion and such drive to get something done that nothing's going to stand in their way when you see that happen. And my role, and I've always seen myself as this, is a catalyst to make sure that if change is going to happen, that I can help it happen faster. And I've got notes where we had our first couple meetings and we laid out all the things that needed to happen. We prioritized them. We set goals about how those were going to be accomplished. And a lot of that I can attribute to some of my own training and working with a business coach and setting those goals. But the sooner we could give rides to people, the better. And that meant insurance. That meant setting up a 501c3, all these things. And I pushed Matt in the right direction, but Matt gives me too much credit. He's the one that's picking up the baton and running the rest of the way.
So when you first started, was it you actually driving the people? Like, who was the first driver of somebody?
Well, it took for the first year or so, I built the business of it. I went through the 501c3. I really didn't want to start doing rides and really creating awareness for the company until I...
You had all your ducks in a row, right?
I wanted my ducks in a row before I started this. I didn't want to operate without the 501c3 right. Because I wanted...
And that takes months, right? It's not like you just call the government and go, get me a 501c3.
No. It is a timed process that took me about a year to do.
Right.
It's not easy to get. It's run by the federal government.
And you're going to ask for it with... You don't even have a business. Like, you haven't given a ride. You haven't found anybody that wants a ride.
Exactly. You pretty much have to, you know, write up a case. And I did reach out and get some legal assistance in doing so. Mm-hmm. But you've got to convince the federal... The 501c3 board why they want to grant you this documentation. So yeah, until we started doing our rides, I spent most of my time creating the business side of the business. Now I'm at the point where I want to create awareness. You know, we've helped out people, but now I want to help out more.
Right. So okay. So it took a year. Now you got your business. Now you're allowed to do it.
Exactly.
So now was it the first ride you got? Was it hard to find somebody that wanted a ride, or was it hard to find somebody who wants to drive this person?
Well. My first ride was actually one of my friends, one of my wife's closest friends. And this is a sad story, but thank God the Healing Trainer was around. Brittany, she is 35 years old, husband works, she's got two little boys. She was diagnosed with breast cancer mm-hmm. while she was pregnant.
Oh, my God.
So 5 months pregnant, getting a cancer diagnosis. Family didn't live by. You know, families lived in different states. And she was our first official rider. You know, and if you could imagine...
So who's the driver?
Well, okay, that's a great question. I don't own vehicles. So a good friend of mine...
Josh.
Larry Green. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to give some credit to somebody else now. Larry Green, I think you may interview them. Green Worldwide Transportation is our mm-hmm. partner.
And that's been a business that's served this community for 25 plus years.
Exactly. Right? Green Worldwide Transportation has been around like 20-something years. And they have the vehicles that meet our demands. They're all
so this was just a personal friend, or you had to kind of cold call him and see if he'd be
up for it? Yeah, we sat down over Lox and Bagel, and I didn't want to say pitch the idea to him, but it was crucial for me to align myself with a reliable transportation mm-hmm. company, because we want to provide safe, reliable, and clean transportation. So, and they've got the vehicles, the staff, the 24-hour dispatch, all of our patients, they can go in the vehicles with all their family, as many people as they want to go with them. You know, there's wheelchair access. So some of our patients have been picked up in SUVs, black sedans.
Right. That was a great partner for you, because he has every vehicle you can imagine.
Exactly. So basically, yeah, they are. Without them, it would be hard for me to exist, because I don't have the vehicles. I work through them to do the rides.
Now, did you get that arrangement with him prior to going through all the hoopla of the 501c3, or did it happen after?
It was all happening at the same time. You know, while I was going through the 501c3, I was looking for that transportation.
So you were
partner,
looking for the partner.
While I was doing. I knew I was going to do this, and I knew it would may take me a little bit of time to find somebody that had a passion for what I was doing.
So what was your plan B if he didn't work out?
I didn't have a plan B yet. I was just hoping it worked out. I'm being honest.
So Josh.
Josh had a plan.
Josh has a pickup truck. We're just going to put everybody back there.
So Josh, your business coach, okay with that strategy of no plan B?
I hadn't told him about that one thing.
somebody dropped the ball around here.
One of the nice things about the green transportation is it allows us to scale, because right away we figured out that we can't handle the dispatch or the way this thing is going to scale. Because as we started talking to people, everyone's like, yeah, this is going to work. And I said to Matt, you can't handle the volume that's going to come. So we need to come up with a way to scale this. And likely the transportation company already has this process down.
Right.
So we need to build a system that interfaces with theirs.
So you
need
a hotline,
with the hospital.
A healing train hotline or something?
We've actually built a custom
ride tracking system.
Yeah, we've got a ride tracking system that the hospitals can use, and it spits out a report that can be shared with the ride transportation. So we spent a couple meetings with with Green, figuring out how their process worked, and we've also worked with the hospitals to figure out how their processes work, to find out where we fill in that gap. So we've come up with that process, and we built a workflow that we can walk hospitals through to say, this is where you come in, this is where Healing Train comes in, and this is where the ride provider comes in. So it's all built into an end-to-end workflow, where when you get to the end, you can see, these are the number of rides that I've purchased, mm-hmm. these are the number of rides that I've used, and if there's a change that needs to be made, if they need more rides or there were rides left over, we can apply those to the next month. And we did that with the understanding that we've got a great partner with Green.
Let me. I have two questions, and I want to take a step back to Josh. And you briefly touched on it earlier, and we moved on. You made a statement that when Matt came to you and presented this idea, and basically asked you what you thought, and you said, "This is going to work." Why the confidence? Why did you feel so strongly that it was going to? You alluded to it, but I'll let you go ahead and expand on it.
I'll say my business experience. It can be compared with running my face into a brick wall repeatedly until it stops hurting. And so I kind of have a sense for which things have a lot of potential. And whenever I've seen somebody super successful, it's because they've got some kind of spark
that's
in their heart that can't be extinguished. And no matter what anybody says, Matt was going to do this.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw immediately, because we've talked for years. We were college roommates, and you know, so we've known each other for a long time. And I just saw something in him that I'd never seen before that just had to, it had to happen.
Right.
I didn't have a plan B, but plan B the next day, you know, after I spoke with Larry.
Well, and the reason I wanted to come back to that is so true. And it's not about the score. It's about the will to get up and do it again and keep on doing it. And I love one of Bobby Knight's quotes, you know, the will to win is not half as important as the will to prepare to win. In other words, getting up, practicing, doing it over and over again until you're perfect. I mean, that's exactly what I'm hearing you say. Matt, the second question, I think it'd be interesting or good for our listening audience if we would distinguish the difference between what you do and an ambulance. I mean, I'm sure there's listeners out there say, well, I got to go to the doctor's office and I can't walk. I'll call an ambulance. Can you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess I'll start that off. We're a non-emergency service. Right. I mean, it's a limo company. You know, we can take wheelchairs in the vehicles, but most of our patients can walk or, you know, need wheelchair assistance or with a walker. But with an ambulance, you call 911, somebody gets out there. I mean, there's, you know, an emergency situation. We're more of a transportation service that, you know, is clean, reliable, and comfortable. You know, when you get picked up in a nice black sedan, you get your own personal driver. We supply Healing Train gift bags in each of the vehicles. You know, and the gift bags come with, you know, some hand sanitizer, some chapstick, you know, something to help you get through a chemo treatment, a bottle of water. So we just want to supply a logistical burden on somebody and just make it just comfortable and clean for them.
Yeah, I'm going to expand this a little bit. You said you're non-emergency transportation. I understand that. For our listening audience, I believe it's important to kind of speak to what is real, and it has to do with not only response but cost. If it were your dad needing to go to chemo, it's not life threatening. They could call an ambulance, and an ambulance would show up.
Right, exactly.
But there's two issues there that most people don't understand. That ambulance shows up, and it's not a life threatening emergency. Then whatever medical insurance that is involved, i.e., in this case, probably Medicare, is going to say, we're not paying for this. Well, the cost of that ambulance taking your father to the chemo or the doctor, I mean, this is a real rough guess, but $750 doesn't offend me at all. I know that it's that expensive, and that's out of pocket.
Right.
So that's in contrast to, okay, I don't have a life-threatening situation. I got to go to chemo, and I need some assistance to get there. I can't go by myself. Okay, this is where I call Healing Train.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. Very well said.
And it's true. People have got to understand that. You know, people don't understand the concept of critical care and Medicare and things like that. And they're not. It's not an all taker type of situation. Medicare just does not do that.
So, right.
All right. I'm sorry. I asked you a question. I answered it for you. But I'm good for doing that.
No, it's fine.
So where do we see it go from here? Well, no. Let me take a step back. You also mentioned that, you know, you're a 501c3. Nonprofit.
Yep.
So how do you make this go? You alluded to it, but I was expanding.
Well, a couple of things that we're doing right now, I'll kind of touch on lightly. You know, our focus is providing transportation for people that need it most. We give out free transportation. So what we've doing right now, we're working closely with Northside Hospital. Josh and I have been talking with them, and they have one of their needs is a logistical barrier. They have patients that come to their hospital for treatment, but they have transportation concerns. So we're working closely with them to provide our transportation services. But hospitals and social workers, et cetera, they know their patients. So the patient that we're getting is somebody that truly needs this service. This is somebody that you know, may fall below a poverty level, may have minimal insurance. So so we're working with them. And then we're also aligning ourselves with other organizations as well that do things around the community that I'm not going to list the things that they do, but you can imagine there's a lot of organizations that are out there, but we're partnering with them and talking with them and to provide the transportation services to the people that they serve and they for their organizations.
Can you let's try to paint a picture. You use me. I have cancer, physically, from whatever reason, not physically able to drive. I have no one who can drive me. How does all this transpire? Does the hospital call? Who's doing all this?
Well, with the hospitals, that's something that you know, I don't want to necessarily we do on the side, but that, you know, we're working with the hospital on that. But I'll give you a scenario. A lot of this has been word of mouth right now.
Okay.
So, for example, another one of our riders, you know, Josh here has a coworker or a friend that knew somebody that needed a ride. So they called me up. I scheduled the ride for them. I've had some other rides where they've heard through a family member or a friend of this of the organization and the service, and I've scheduled the ride for them. So unless we put together a ride tracking system, or if we know somebody that needs 10, 15, 20 rides, you know, we'll come up with our ride tracking system that Josh kind of talked about earlier, a more of a formal, simplified way to do things. But basically it's, you know, you need a ride. You go to our website, put a request in.
Okay.
Well, I'll call them back and we'll talk to the person and then we'll schedule a ride for them. Pretty simple.
But is it a single ride, or is it like, look, this is every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for the next 8 weeks?
Whatever the patient needs. We've had somebody that just needed a one radiation treatment. We've had somebody that says, you know what, I know every third week I need a Tuesday, Wednesday ride. We'll set that up. Mm-hmm. You know, one great thing about Green, they can set up profiles in their system.
Right.
So, again, another great partner and some of the capabilities that they have for us. So we can customize it and make it work for any patient in any situation.
But you want the way, if a person's interested, they should go to your website, thehealingtrain.org?
Yes.
In order to coordinate it?
Yes. Yep.
Josh, from this entrepreneurial standpoint, tell me your vision. Where's the Healing Train going to be a year from now?
Is it Atlanta only, or is it all over the world?
Well, it started out with just Atlanta, but Matt and I kept talking about if we make it work here, we can make it work anywhere. And what was interesting in working with some of the local healthcare providers, we had this idea that it was just this, I need a ride one time. And the feedback was, no, we need a schedule. And not only that, I need people to get from their home to the hospital for treatment. I also need them to get from their home to a local infusion center, which is not
right.
The hospital. And that's a regional problem that we're addressing. So there, we kind of stumbled upon a void that we didn't realize was there. And it's not just getting people to their treatments at the hospital or getting them to a surgery center. It's getting them to and from where they need to be and where they live, which may not be Metro Atlanta. And the way that we've built this system is scalable, where we can apply it to other areas.
And I got to, and again, a little bit off topic, but it relates perfectly. In today's acute medical environment, it has to do with the proper care in at the right time in the right setting, and they are very focused upon having to do repeat treatments, for lack of a better term. In other words, we've got all this done and it's happened, but for some reason something negative occurred and we got to do it again. And in the case I'm alluding to is you've got this chemo going on, but you lack transportation. Well, the chemo and the treatment facility and all the great doctors in the world do you no good if you can't get there.
Exactly.
And so it all intertwines. And as we move more and more, and we're going to a one-payer system, which is going, it's going to even be more critical that people like you can bridge those gaps in the communication process as well as the treatment process. I really think it is because hospitals are not in the transportation business. They're in the treatment business, and they don't have the capacity to do what you all do. So it's going to take guys like you all filling the gaps. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was going to say, yeah, again, well said. That's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly why I started this, to help people, help out. Again, I did this based on my own personal experience.
Yeah.
You know, it was tough for me. So I know it's tough for other people. And again, if I can spend my time and energy to create something that's going to make life easier in somebody else's situation, that's what we're here to do. Nobody else is going to do it for us, so we've got to look out for one another and just, like Josh said, hit your head against the wall while you're doing it. But helping out is the key here.
Well, I want to, before we wrap up, I want to encourage the listening audience to think about the services that you offer, but more importantly, the finances. And it is a service, it's a community service, but nothing's free. And so those individuals out there who have it impressed on their heart to do something, here's a way, and it's pretty simple. Every service organization requires financing, so please take this to heart and remember that it all relates. It really does. Guys, as I told you, it time's up, and I knew I told you it'd go quickly. It was a great show, great information. We thank both of you for being with us.
And what do you need more of? You need corporate sponsors. You need individual donations.
That's what makes us go. Like you said, you know, I hate to bring it down to finances, but we got to run it like a business. So individual sponsorships, corporate sponsorships, that's what we're looking for, you know. And if I can get those, I can help the people out. I'll take my time and energy in doing that.
Great.
And if anybody needs to reach me, it's simple. It's matt@thehealingtrain.org. I'll say it again, matt@thehealingtrain.org, or just check out my website and send us a request through the link there.
That's what was going to be my next question, so good job.
I got you back. I did that one for you.
Once again, thank you, and I want to extend an invitation to both of you down the road. If there are other issues that relate to the Healing Train or whatnot, please give me a call, and we'll be glad to have either of you back on the show.
Thank you both very much. Thank you. Thanks.
Lee, thanks for doing what you do. You do a great job. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Want to remind our listening audience that they can always listen to a rebroadcast of today's show at eugeriaradio.com. And as we close, we always say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.